in the book of Joshua. You sang, if Jordan above me should roll. Well, I want to tell you, beloved, that there's something that we've got to dynamically and vitally understand about this position where the River Jordan comes in Scripture. Some of us, of course, will know these very things. But I feel that again and again we need to remind ourselves, lest we sing things or we do things that aren't real. And because they're not real, we can get carried away in fanciful flights. I remember a brother praying this morning, we don't want eloquence, Lord. Well, we don't. And that may be a very eloquent way of phrasing something, but it's entirely unscriptural and wrong. And if you look in the book of Joshua, you will see that they had to pass over this Jordan. I'm looking in the third chapter. Jordan flowed between the children of Israel and their earthly inheritance. It stood as the impassable barrier, especially because it was in full flood. It stood as the impassable barrier between them and themselves inheriting on this earth, whilst still on this earth. It stood between them and their possessing what God intended them to possess. Now, in so many people, there's this kind of thing that's still there. You may be here this morning and you may say, I am not in possession of all the things that some of these people possess. It may be that that's very real in your heart. I know that lots and lots of people are in this position. I know that I was in that position myself once. Alas, I was so dead I didn't want it. And then God quickened me to come alive to want it. So then I knew what it was, beloved, to enter into my inheritance while I'm on this earth. Unfortunately, so much has been put into the future. It's been put there, and we've got to die physically and get out of this world before we can have it. So they get hold of the word Jordan, and they read about the River Jordan, and they make that represent dying. And then everything's beyond, you see. That's where it's all so very, very wrong. And this book, as we've reminded ourselves before, is the book of Joshua, which is the Old Testament name for Jesus. It's the book of Jesus. This is a tremendous thing. And you will find that it's Jesus that takes them through Jordan. It's Jesus that does it. It was Jesus that took them into their promises, into all that God said they should have. And it was very, very wonderful. And in order to get there, Jordan did not roll above them. This is the great secret. It says in the third chapter that Joshua is speaking in verse 11. The ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan. Now notice what it says, rest, not go splashing through. They are going to rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it's just how it happened. And Jordan did not roll above these people. They didn't swim over. The little tots didn't try and wade through and get drowned. They went over on dry ground. This is what it says. They went right over on dry ground. Isn't that amazing? Verse 17. The priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Dry ground. Dry ground. They didn't even get their shoes muddy. You understand this? Let alone water rolling over them. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's the thing for you to understand. And so you won't be able to sing that verse anymore unless you amend it. And when they got over, you're told this, that they built 12 stones on the other side in the end of chapter 4. Verse 19, the people came up out of Jordan. They were bone dry. Hallelujah. They came up on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped in Gilgal, in the east of border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan, all nice and dry, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. Amen. You see? And you see, God's got a reputation for this. Amen. He's got a great reputation for this. Read the next verse. The Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. There you are. That's Dad speaking to his son. There it is. God's got a reputation for this. The waters of the Red Sea didn't roll over them. The waters of Jordan didn't roll over them and their sons. They went through on dry land. And if you read again when it comes to this Jordan, that you can read about it with Elijah and Elisha. And when Elijah and Elisha crossed Jordan, they crossed over on dry land. Elijah smote the waters and they scattered, and through they went. And Elijah picked up his mantle and smote the waters and came back, dry as a bone. Don't you see, beloved? That's the tremendous place. And then, at the very spot, later when Jesus came onto the earth, he went and stood in Jordan. He went and stood in Jordan at the very place where they crossed. That's where Jesus was baptized, in Jordan, at the very spot. Hallelujah. He went and stood firm where the priest's feet had stood firm those thousands of years before. So that you, beloved, it's all right, that's only an exit. She's got to go on duty. You be thankful you're still here. The Lord stood there. And it's to show us, beloved, oh, may God open our eyes to see this, that there is a way, and Jesus Christ was nominated as the Lamb of God that stood there, the Holy Ghost coming on him, pointed out as he that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. And there he stands, with all heaven open. And Father speaking and saying, I'm ever so pleased. Thou art my beloved Son. I am ever so pleased. Hallelujah. Of course he was pleased. He fulfilled all righteousness. This is the sort of thing he meant when he said, I'm only doing this to fulfill all righteousness. Joshua told the ark to stand there. And you mustn't think it's just a matter of some people with an ark on their shoulders standing in Jordan to let people go into their earthly possessions. Praise God. I'm standing here to let you see and let the picture fill your mind and let the truth fill your heart that I'm fulfilling all the types, tokens, shadows and figures. It all pointed to me. And listen, you can go through death and it won't roll over you. You can go into your possessions. You can enter into all the promises. And the way through into everything that God has for you is on dry ground. You understand this? You haven't got to fight your way through. You haven't got to battle. You haven't got to swim and puff and make a big old fuss or anything like that, beloved. You simply come as an obedient lamb, as that great obedient lamb. And you come and you simply believe him. Yes. Unbelief cannot praise him. Unbelief cannot thank him. Oh, it's hard work trying to be thankful and praiseful with an unbelieving heart. It's hard work trying. But oh, beloved, when you know it's all so real and you've passed over. Look, beloved, don't you see that Jesus Christ came to make death available to you as the simple end to all your struggles? The quick way to finish it all. Death. That's right. That's what he came. To stop you making an end of all your big prayers and confessions and moans and groans. And going over everything, over and over again, as though God's a Shylock that's exacting his pound of flesh off you. My beloved brothers and sisters, come out of all the darkness of Shakespearean mythology and come into the light of the gospel and into the glory of God. It's all so simple. It's all so straightforward, you see. When they got to Jordan, God didn't take them a zigzag path a long way up there and then double back on his tracks and come all and all this. He just stood in the middle and they all walked straight past them like that. That's right, as straight as a die. Amen. The shortest and quickest way over. Hallelujah. That's right. The most direct path to the acquiring of all that God has for you. Hallelujah. Oh, it's all so simple. And the fuss, I know, because I made a fuss. I know the fuss that people make. We're all the same. I mean, nobody's any better than anybody else in this. We're all so dead and stupid. And we're all so really human. And we like to attract a big attention to ourselves that we're getting ourselves holy and wanting to be Christians and all this business instead of shutting up and dying. One quick death like that and you'll be in the resurrection. Yeah, you'll be in. And thank God too. Amen. Arthritis may inflict on you a slow, lingering and painful death. Drug taking may do it, but when you come to God, he says it's all over. Hallelujah. Yeah, cancer may inflict on you a terrible, long, lingering, painful death, but not God. You can come to the place when you are prepared to do away with yourself, when you're prepared to finish with yourself and all your pious talk and all the sort of lovely things of going to services and taking communions and all this. And when you're prepared to finish with all that, all a lot of it, and say, Lord, I see, glory, glory, glory. And you said, when that happens, you're through. And when you come together on a Sunday morning, you see, it's just a love feast. It's just a shout and a glory and a praise. It's just a wonder. It's a knowledge that you're in. And those that are out haven't got a clue. They don't know what it's all about. They can't think what you're up to. They haven't got a clue. But beloved, when the Lord brings us into this glorious revelation, the Jordan doesn't roll over. Say, oh, I've got to go through, and it's so, I'm going to be hurt. I was on about this last night. The lie of the devil. The deep, deep lie of the devil. If he can malign the character of God, he will. And if he can get you to do it, that's better still, because you're supposed to be a Christian. You see. But once you stand and you know what God's done, eh? And you know it's all over. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Jesus went through all the agony, beloved.
Yes.
We'll read. Shall we? We'll read it in the scriptures. Luke 22. Matthew 26. If you like, we'll read the Matthew account first. Matthew 26. 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep. Now this is why so many people fail. This was like what we read in Joshua. If you read that story through yourself carefully, read the third and the fourth chapter of Joshua through yourself, you'll see it all there. Jesus fulfills all the types and the shadows. Joshua said to the children of Israel, now we're going to pass this Jordan. You see? We're going to cross over this Jordan. Now what you must do is this. When you see the Ark of the Lord, and that's the type of Jesus Christ, when you see the Ark of the Lord, go forward, go after it. But wait a minute, let it go a little further. Now I've used the New Testament term. Just keep a space a little farther than you. Just keep a space 200 cubits between you and it. Let it go a little farther. Keep your eye on it. Follow it. That's the way you must go. You see? And they all did. They got out of their tents. They saw the priests pick up the ark. They watched it go to Jordan's banks. It went. They stood still, and that went a little farther ahead. Only a little farther. To show them the way to go. You've not been this way heretofore. And they were all wide awake. And shame on you. And shame on those disciples. These apostles. They went to sleep. So they never saw. And that's the trouble with so many of us. That deep sleep is still on so many of Christ's disciples. Those three represented you, beloved. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He said, he paid them a compliment, really. He said, the Spirit's willing. That's right. So many of you are willing to be there. You want to be in what God's got for you. But you know what's the trouble? Your flesh is weak. Yeah, your flesh is absolutely weak. That's right. You can't do it. You're afraid of what your husband might say, or your wife might think, or your church would say about it, or something like this. You're very conscious of the opinions of others, too conscious of them, you're not conscious enough of God. It's to become so God-conscious that what anybody else thinks doesn't matter. And here was old Peter. He said, "Well, I'll go anywhere. I'll follow you, Lord. I'll follow you. I'll follow you," he said. And then he went to sleep. And so the Lord had a special word for Peter. He said, "Peter, couldn't you watch with me? Not 1 hour." Listen, I want to tell you, it didn't take those people an hour to cross Jordan. It's only a little narrow stream. They crossed it in about a minute. Yeah. Have you ever thought of that? You could cross Jordan at that place in about a minute. It might have taken an hour for the whole company to get across, or more, you know, from the first one to the last, but each individual could cross it in a minute. That's a tremendous thing. In the twinkling of an eye, it can be done. Praise the Lord. And they went to sleep. Whilst he'd gone that little bit farther, and this time he went back, and Dr. Luke, that's why I said we'd read Luke, he records this physical impossibility. Dr. Luke, in chapter 22, it says this. Wonderful thing. Verse 41, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, about as far as you could throw a stone, and kneeled down and prayed. Now I want to tell you, you can throw a stone across Jordan if you're a good thrower. It's not as wide as the Thames or anything like that. You could throw a stone across the River X if you're a good thrower. Just think of it. And he prayed. And he said, "Father, Father," you know what happened. An angel appeared to him in verse 43 from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. I don't want to stop and talk a lot about this morning. I want to bring out just these things that God has brought to my heart. Oh, beloved, you have got to see that it was Jesus who had the waters roll over him. It was Jesus who knew what it was to fulfill the psalmist's word to say, "The floods have overwhelmed me. The waters have come in unto my soul." Jesus. He did it. He did it. His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. And that not sufficient, no, as it were, for God. He had to go and actually let his blood drop out, run out on that cross for you and for me. And I want to tell you, beloved, it's all over. It's all done. It's all over. Hallelujah. And that ark stood firm in Jordan until all the people were clean passed over and all dry. Hallelujah. Right. Finished. And are you over then, beloved? Or are you thinking about waiting till Jordan rolls over you and you hear the trump of the archangel and the voice of the Lord and you're thinking about the second coming? You've got all your doctrines right. But you're not really over. And you think something's going to happen when you die. Well, it is. It's going to be marvelous. But praise the name of the Lord. He wants us to be in. He wants every one of us to be in and rejoicing in what we're in. Thrilled and overflowing with it. He wants our heart to be as filled with joy as his own. Amen. See, this is what he said just before he went to this. He gathered his people in that upper room, and this is the thing he said to you. Now, my joy, my peace, I live with you. Not my sorrow, I'll keep there. I don't give you there. I'll let it flood me, I'll let it roll over me for thee. Oh, stop this pretense, beloved. Don't try and be an amateur Christ. Don't try and be a blasphemous Jesus. Stop it. You're to believe him. And if you're not in what God wants you to have, it's the plain fact is that you just don't believe him. That's all. And when you believe him, you'll be in. Not a stone's throw, just a little further. Amen. A man came to Jesus once on the earth, and he started to talk to him, and Jesus looked at him and he said, you're not far from the kingdom. Not far. One more step and he'd have been in. What a tragedy to be so close and yet be so far away. Like old Moses. He was so close. God took him right up on Pisgah. He was just as though he was in a Sunday morning meeting in Belmont Road. And he could see the corn there, he could see the fields, he could see the cows from which the milk flowed, and if he got good eyes, and it says his eyes had not waxed dim at 120, he probably could see the bees that made the honey. For the lamb that made the milk and honey. He was a tremendous man. One of the most remarkable men who's ever lived on this earth, Moses. And he went up and he saw it all. But he never went in. He never went in. Now, my beloved, he wasn't so far away. And he took them right down to Moab, right down to the very banks of Jordan, the very verdant verges that go down to the flowing stream. See? And he read out all the law of God to them. He knew it from A to Z. Actually, he'd given it to them. He taught them, he instructed, he taught them to sing songs, you can find them. He'd done all sorts of things, but never went in himself. Now, we know there's a reason for that in the great provisions of God. I'm not going to discuss those, but the fact is, he never entered in and he never crossed. Now, you've got to cross. Jesus, our Joshua, has done it all. And I want to tell you, beloved, that in that glorious death, he made the way through for you. Amen. If you will with all things part, if you will leave everything, this is your if. If's only got two letters in it, IF. It could be I fear. That's why you're not in. You're afraid. But if you will forsake, and it becomes I forsake and not I fear. And if it becomes I follow, well, that's what they said. Keep your eye on the ark. Just follow. Just go through there. Amen. Just keep your eye on Jesus and you'll be through. He says, if you will leave everything, you must leave everything. You must leave your opinions as well as your sin, your opinions that are your sin. Leave them. God doesn't need your opinions. He's given you his. That's right. He doesn't need your strength. He's given you his son. He doesn't need your prayers. We read he went a little further and he prayed. He did it all. He doesn't need a thing from you now, my brother, my sister, but belief. That's all he needs. He doesn't need one drop of blood from you. He doesn't need a prayer. He doesn't need a tear. He doesn't need a great cry. He doesn't need an attestation about what you'll do. I'll give up this and I'll do. They don't need any of it. He wants you to believe him. I thought again, I say this over and over again, because it always comes back to my heart. We sang, all the worth I have before him is the value of his blood. And I said, oh God, I thank you, I'm worth all that to you. I thank you that you think I'm worth all that. Hallelujah. You see, and I'm in, you know, I'm in. I crossed it. I went through that Jordan, hallelujah, amen, oh, amen. And when he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with that ye know not of, you see. And he said, I'm ever so straitened, I'm all narrowed down, my father has shut me down now to this one baptism. That's what I'm all about now. Everything else, no more miracles now, no more signs and wonders now, no more parables now, no more preachings now, no more itineraries now. I'm straight now. I'm shut down to this baptism. Hallelujah. They didn't know how narrowly he was treading the path when he said, go and prepare for us. And then he went to Gethsemane, and you know the terrible route to Calvary. And he said, I'm all straightened. And he said to them once, can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said, yes. He said, well, so you will. That's right. So you will. And you've got to come through this baptism. There it is. I want to tell you, it's a quick cut. It's a dry road all the way. Yeah. You're in. You're in. What are you? You are or you aren't? Are you in? Amen. Say, Lord, I've partaken of this baptism. I'm in. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you that the things that have been happening in your life is that the Holy Ghost, and think of the privilege, has been doing in you what he did to his own son. What did to God's own son? What did he do to God's own son? He straightened him up and narrowed him down to that baptism. And that's what he's been doing in your life. He's been straightening you to this. Narrowing you right down, cutting down all your flowery, this, that and the other, and all your ebullience and all your... You're spreading out, and all your success and all your puff up and all your degrees and all a lot of it, all your possessions, so they don't mean anything to you, do they? And if they do, I despair of you. They're rubbish in heaven. They don't count by Calvary. Nothing. Nothing counts here. And he shuts you right down. You get some groanings and you get some moanings and you get all sorts of things. And the Holy Ghost is showing you how rotten you are and have been. That's right. Perhaps you didn't like to hear me say that. But you see, I'm talking about my own self-discovery. He showed me, and I know everybody has to come this way. They all have to come the same way. There's no quick cut. So that there's beauty in nothing, satisfaction in nothing. You say, oh, I'll marry a choice girl. You say, I'll marry some handsome man, or I'll get this job, or I'll get that, and you don't know the trouble you're letting yourself in for with these handsome men. I'm telling you the truth. Telling you the truth. Absolute truth. Ah, but we love one another. That's fine, of course. That'll help you bear your troubles a bit more. But you'll have troubles. That's right. Glory. And the Holy Ghost shuts it all up. There you have to go. You have to go. There was a fool of a man named Saul of Tarsus. He was one of the cleverest men that's ever lived on the earth. An absolute fool of a man. And when God... he was. Do you know, he called himself in the end chief of sinners. And when God started to work on him, and he started to... Oh, Saul tried to get out, and then God gave him a jab. That's right. And then he tried to run out the other side. God said, I'm driving this plough, not you. That's right. And there came a time when he was down that Damascus road, and it was a very narrow way. And at last he found Jesus. That's right. And it wasn't very long before that all the scales were off his eyes, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. And he was moving through in the glories of God. That's right. That's what Jesus said to him. He said, it's been hard for you, Paul, isn't it, kicking against the pricks. He'd been struggling, making a big show, going up to the synagogues, swinging the incense, hearing the law read, praying his prayers, wrapping his shawl around him. He'd been going through the lot. That's right. Religious humbug he was. A man's always a humbug when he's kicking against Jesus Christ. He doesn't become a humbug until he starts to kick against Christ. Then he's in great danger of becoming a real hypocrite if he keeps up his dumb show of going off to church and all this business. You see? But there comes a time, beloved, when he gets us all straightened out here. And then when you come there, you see? Oh, the Lord showed Paul, it was all dry. He'd knocked you down in the dust. It was all dry. That's right. All dry. And he crossed over in the light. That's right. That's what they did of old. The pillar, the burning fiery pillar. Over through they went. In the light. And they were in their possessions. They were in. Now, you should be in your possessions. You can't unless you're prepared to drop everything, finish with it all, and let the Lord deal with you in a great and a wonderful manner. You've got nothing that's of any value yourself except your soul. That's all. And you can come as you are, feeling, thinking, desiring, wanting thing that you are. And don't understand yourself. But God does. You are not just a body. You're a person of feelings and emotions. And you can feel things for eternity. Yeah. Wouldn't it be dreadful if you felt the sharp sorrows and pangs of eternal rottenness and sin? Wouldn't it? Instead, if you can come into the joys and glorious things. You know, God is dealing with things in you that are greater than you know. You must understand this. He loves you, beloved. They are greater than you know. It's no good you trying to grapple with your soul and life and death and the wherefores and whence tos and how have I come and what am I doing? And these are the basic questions, beloved. God loves you and sent his Jesus into the world for this. You can go right over. You can come into the glories of God. You can live in the love and the peace and the joy and the actual condition in which God lives this morning. You can live in those same states. Isn't that a marvelous thing? And that's what Christianity is, living in the states that God lives. Isn't it wonderful? How many people do you know that are there? Let's ask the Lord. Let's ask him, Lord, how many people, Lord, do you know that are there? And then let's be very personal, shall we? And say, Lord, how many in this room? Not that we want to count heads. And then say, Lord, me. Now I needn't ask God now, because I know. You've got to know. You've got to know direct from God. Don't be an ostrich now. Don't be a moral ostrich and start pushing your head in the sand and think you can't be seen. Something like that. You come right home. Hallelujah. And you believe what he tells you. If he tells you no, then straight in. If he tells you yes, say hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Amen. Let's be right in all our great possessions. Come in, beloved. You won't get wet here. I tell you, all these other things have been dealt with. It's just you and Jesus now. Just you and him. Glory. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm through. I'm in. Hallelujah. Glorious Lord.